produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Grab the great weapon of the believer and turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 9, where we were last week.
Yes, sir.
Verses 1 through 5. It will be our scriptural text of reading.
Yes, sir.
With special emphasis upon verse number 4. John chapter 9. I'm so happy to see the ESPYs coming in. Amen. Bless the Lord for that beautiful family. Special emphasis on verse 4 of John chapter 9. You'll find these words recorded by the beloved apostle. And he writes for our hearing and for our edification. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?
All right.
Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but he's blind because that the works of God should be made manifest in him.
All right.
Then Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Verse 5, in conclusion, Jesus says of himself, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Blessed be our God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Special emphasis on verse 4, and I'll read it again. For emphasis' sake, I must work the works of him that sent me.
Yes.
While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. We're going to finish or begin another iteration of our theme for 2024. You remember what the theme is. You'll hear it over and over again all year long. I believe I really ask the Lord to give me what to tell the church. And this simple thing simply says this. Do it now.
And do it big.
Do it big.
Amen.
Do it now.
Do it big.
And do it big.
Amen.
Now, if you recall from last week, we talked about how Christ, when in this text, how that he knew his assignment when he was brought into this world as a child, being the God-man, the Theos Anthropos. He knew his assignment. Not only did he know his assignment, but he also knew his time.
Yes.
Jesus knew that he only had a certain length of time to get accomplished what God had for him to do, his Father had him to do.
Amen.
Jesus also was aware of the dangers and the oppositions of his mission. He knew that he was going to be opposed by the devil, by the world, by the religious sect. And all that would come his way, Jesus had to navigate the dangers and the opposition that would come in pursuing and finishing out his mission. So he knew his assignment. He knew his time. He knew the dangers and opposition. But most importantly, we closed out last week with that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, Most importantly, he knew his Father.
Amen. Yes.
Thank God for his Father. Thank God for God. Jesus is the paradigm. He's the pattern by which we also should try to pattern ourselves, and as we fulfill the mission God has for each one of us. Remember, our theme for 2024 is do it now.
And
do it big. Now there are times in scripture, as I was thinking about this and preparing this, as I was thinking, there are times in scripture that seems as if the commands of scripture and even the example of Christ with respect to his actions seem to be in opposition with one another. Seems to be almost contradictory. Jesus sometimes, it seems that someone who would read on a peripheral level would think that Jesus may was contradictory in some of his actions. Let me give an example of what I mean. In Mark chapter 15, when Jesus was questioned by the scribes and also by Pilate when he was being scourged all night long, he was questioned. And Pilate asked him, the scribes were asking him questions, and Pilate said to him, "Will you not answer?" And the Bible records that Jesus answered not a word. And then there's an incident where in Luke chapter 24, when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection, he met men that were walking, and he joined their company. And as they listened to him, and as they began to tell him what were the happenings in Jerusalem, Jesus then, the Bible said, began to tell them all the things that were concerning him in the scriptures, from Moses to the prophets, even to the Psalms. And Jesus gave full disclosure of who he was.
All right.
And you remember that when they sat down to eat, Jesus lifted up the bread and he broke it and he began to pray for it. And then their eyes were open and they saw that this was Jesus in their midst. And they testified to the fact did not our hearts burn as he walked with us by the way. What kind of Bible study that must have been for the greatest teacher of all time to break open the bread of life and begin to teach them everything that concerned himself, from Moses to the prophets to the Psalms and throughout all the scriptures. And Jesus, in one incident, he did not answer a word. But in the other incident, he gives full disclosure, everything that the Lord had said about him in scripture. There's another example of Jesus when he commanded the man who was filled with leprosy in Luke chapter 5. Jesus tells this man, he says, "Don't tell anyone what I did for you."
Uh-huh.
And of course, that man disobeyed Christ. He left there running and jumping and leaping and telling people everything that Christ had done for him. But the command was, don't tell anybody. And Jesus, in the same example in Mark chapter 16, when the angel met Mary Magdalene, and after being risen from the dead, the scriptures say that the angel told them, go tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus was risen from the dead. One incident, he said, tell nobody. Mm-hmm. And then another incident, an angel of the Lord tells them, go tell everybody. Seeming as if it may even be contradictory, but we know, of course, Jesus never contradicts himself because he is truth. He personifies all of truth. Here's another example. There are times in the scriptures when we are commanded to wait.
All right.
And we are giving emphasis this morning about do it now. Mm-hmm. Don't wait. Do it now.
Right.
May seem contradictory, but there are times in scripture where the scriptures tell us to wait.
Amen.
Psalm 27, 14 tells us, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Then he says again, wait, I say, on the Lord. And you know what he says there about the golden quill of the high holy prophet, who was an eagle-eyed prophet, And he began to write in Isaiah chapter 40, and he says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. And even the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord. So there are times when we are called to wait, but yet there are times when we are called to move. So half of our theme this year is that we are to do it and do it now. Whatever we are to do, half of our theme tells us we've got to do it now. We've got to be expeditious. We've got to move with haste. We've got to move swiftly. We must recognize, Brother Kent, we must recognize that time is of the essence.
All right. Yes, sir. All right.
And look at somebody and say, time really isn't on your side. Time is running and it's going fast.
Yes, sir.
And whatever we're going to do, we must do it now. The Reverend Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays, who was the president of Morehouse College, he went there in 1940 and served until 1967. He was one of the premier educators of that day and possibly of all time. As Dr. Martin Luther King at that time, only but a 15-year-old lad, he entered into the freshman class of Morehouse in 1944. And Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays was his mentor. And he was a molder of men. And he wrote this little short quip of a poem that he calls, and I'm going to post it later for you to ruminate over it and to think about it, but Benjamin Elijah Mays, the great educator, he was a preacher, he was a reverend, and he was also a doctor of philosophy.
All right.
And he wrote this short quip of a poem, and it's called Life is Just a Minute.
All right.
Man,
life is just a minute. And I quote, he says, I've only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it.
Okay.
Forced upon me. Can't refuse it. Didn't seek it. Didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it.
All right.
Amen.
I must suffer if I lose it. Give an account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Close quote.
That's all right. That's good. All right.
We can only steward right now.
Right now.
Yesterday is gone.
Yes. Amen.
Tomorrow has not come.
Amen.
All we have is right now. We can only manage right now.
Right now.
We can only govern right now. And how do we do that, Brother Preacher? You may be asking. As Sister Mary said this morning, Sister Carr said, the preacher, he got black on black on black on black. Amen. Maybe I should have changed my glasses. I should have changed this.
That's all right.
Maybe the black preacher on black on black on black on black. You may be asking the black on black on black on black preacher.
I like it.
How do we store it? How do we govern it? How do we manage now? Well, let me suggest this way at least once. And this, there are other ways we can do it, but we can govern our now by engaging in excellent and superior thoughts. Engaging in planning and strategies that pertain to God and His kingdom. If we think about eternity and not the temporal aspect of our living, but that we are headed somewhere and we'll spend time there that will be much longer than here. If we would do that, brothers and sisters, we will steward right now. Do you recall at the end of last year, one of the points I was making on that last service and then that last address of 2023 as I gave that sermon title was The Final Benediction. I was encouraging you and admonishing you to think deeply. Don't be a superficial thinker, but to think deeply.
Amen.
To think deeply about God. Every person here is a theologian. But the question is, how good do you think about God? How good is your theology? Everyone in here has an idea about God. But most of us have erroneous ideas about God. Our ideas about God must be informed by the scriptures. We must think deeply and learn how to think critically about God and what the scriptures say about our God. We must learn the art, and I want to encourage you, learn the art, the skill, the dexterity of refined thinking. Be a thinker. Look at somebody and say, be a thinker. Don't let just people to just tell you anything and you don't have the ability to not think. That's what the world is doing. The world is programming us, Brother Archie, and we are falling for it. Whatever they tell us, we think is the gospel truth. And for the most part, they're lying to our face. We must be able to learn to think deeply. We need refined thinkers in the church. When you come to church, you don't check your mind at the door. You bring your mind in the church. We should have emotion, yes. But we're not just an emotional church. We should be a thinking church. Growing every day and learning so that we can think these things through. Brothers and sisters, we need to have right theology. We need to think about the scriptures. Think about the word of God. We need to think about these kinds of things. And I want you to, if you would, I want you to look at a text with me. I'm almost halfway done. There's a second page. I got one. I got two more. Now I'm finishing. I'm running. But I want you to look with me if you will. Y'all got time to look?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 5.
Amen.
Please look in the Bible. That's where we're preaching from. We're not preaching from the funny book.
Come on now.
Not preaching from Ebony Magazine or Time Magazine. We're preaching from the Bible. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Look, if you will, in verses number 15 through 17. See what it says here, because this is very important if you're going to make best use of your time. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15, 16, and 17. The Apostle Paul writes, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." If I stop right there, that would be enough.
Yeah.
Walk like you've got some sense.
Yeah.
Walk like you know what's going on. Walk like you're not silly. Walk as if you're not naive. Walk like you're not gullible. Walk like you can actually figure out what's happening around you and ascertain what you ought to do.
All
right. If I stop right there, that would be enough. See then that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Then he says, when you do that, what will happen? Redeeming the time. That means you won't waste time. When you think rightly and clearly, you will not allow your life to just pass you by. You realize I'm running out of time. So that you can redeem the time, or redeem the time, because the days are evil. Don't we live in evil days? Wherefore, be ye not, he says it again, unwise. Anytime you stop there, anytime you see the scriptures and there is a thought or principle that's being expressed in a short span of verses, that means that the Lord is telling you something.
Yeah.
And this is an encouragement and an command that you and I need to grab hold to. He says, don't be a fool. Then he comes back, right back, and says, don't be unwise. Listen, I said before, and I need to get right back to my lesson, but we need to be praying and asking God that he gives us wisdom.
Amen.
So you can learn knowledge, but only God gives wisdom.
Come on, God.
You can't can't get wisdom from a book. You can't get wisdom from a teacher. God has to give you wisdom.
That's right.
And I've said it before and I'll say it again. And I know some of you can attest to the fact I was thinking, when I say that often, I think of my grandmother. Matter of fact, Brother Johnson and I, Elder Johnson and I, we talked about her and when we talked the last time. My grandmother only had a 10th grade education. She didn't have much formal education, but she was wise. Don't y'all know some people like that? Who didn't go to school, didn't matriculate in the highly, I believe, of colleges and so forth, but they had wisdom. And there are people who have matriculated in those high halls of learning, and they are knowledgeable but don't have wisdom.
Yeah.
I can't hear nobody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anytime a person can tell you and or can't tell you what a woman is, and they got degrees on top of degrees, and they can't tell you what a woman is, they got knowledge, but they ain't got wisdom. Anytime somebody can tell you that a child should be able to go and literally destroy their body, mutilate their body as a child, and you mean tell me a child can do that, but they can't go down the street and buy aspirin or buy medicine without a parent's consent, but they can go to the doctor without parent's consent and cut off their breast and or their penis? You mean to tell me somebody will say that there's something good that's evil, and people with knowledge, they will affirm that kind of activity because they have knowledge, but they don't have wisdom. Wisdom only comes from God. And then if any man lacks wisdom, all he has to do is ask of God. And what will he do? He'll give it to you liberally. Unabraded not. That means he won't tell you should have had this a long time ago, dummy. No, he gonna give it to you and he gonna give it in full and he ain't gonna pass a word. If you want it, ask for it. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Wisdom will give you the ability to have an Issacharian spirit. The men of Issachar, they knew their time, and they knew what to do. Many people don't know their times. They don't know what's happening in the world. And they sure enough don't know what to do. But the Bible says that when you have, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Yes.
The Lord will reveal his will to us.
Yes, he will.
He will do it.
Yes.
I have a friend of mine. Matter of fact, Tammy and I, we've gone to couples retreats. And we've had people at the retreat come to tell us tonight, we're going to blow the Bible. We're going to blow the Bible and we're going to talk about real stuff.
Real stuff.
We're going to talk about the Bible. We're going to get real in here. And I have to ask the organizers of the retreat. If you are a Christian organization, if one thing you ought to know is, it doesn't get more real than the Bible. You can't remove the Bible and think you're doing something better than the Bible. No, you got to use the Bible in every area of your life. The Bible applies to everything, and if you're teaching anything different than the Bible, you're wasting both time. That don't even need to hear from you. I got a friend of mine who has a podcast, and they wrote a book or they're getting ready to write a book, and they were telling me, well, brother preachers, the reason I don't want to sound too preachy. The reason I'm not using the Bible is I don't want to be too preachy. I want to have a broader audience. Lord have mercy. How bad, how messed up can you be? A broad audience walks down the broad way. I can hear you can't walk with Christ and not be attentive to the Word of God. You can't divorce wisdom from the Word of God. The Word of God is wisdom in and of itself. So what am I trying to say? We've got to know the will of God, and we know that by the Word of God. Well, There's something else I want to tell you this morning, and I'm going to post this on the church's page later this afternoon as well by Lao Tzu. And this is so very important, and I want you to get this because I want us to really hammer home the point, particularly if I don't say anything else ever. Get in the book. Don't leave the book.
Amen.
Stay in the book. If folks don't want to hear you and you preach from the book, it's not anything strange, saints of God. Because the natural man cannot perceive the things of the spirit. Neither can he know them. Because they are spiritually discerned. They're foolishness to the natural man. But to the spiritual man, all things are understood. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. We need, and would you help me just tell somebody, please, we need to stay in the book. Tell me, say, black preacher,
black preacher,
stay in the black book.
It's all right, man. Stay in the book.
Stay in the black book. Stay in the book. That ought to be your admonition to me every Sunday.
That's right.
Pastor, you didn't give us enough verses.
Amen.
You read a verse. You know how you go to some folk church, they read a verse and don't never refer back to it. And talk around and dance around and y'all and shouted and sweated and whisk that wig got twisted and all that and ain't heard nothing from the book. Stay in the book. Now Lao Tzu says it like this. Watch your thoughts.
Watch your thoughts.
They become words.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits.
Come on now.
Watch your habits.
All right.
They become your character.
All right.
Watch your character.
Watch your character.
For it becomes your destiny.
Amen. Come on. Come on.
Our thoughts are the beginnings of all that we are. We've got to have right thought. That's why I'm encouraging you to think deeply, to practice thinking. Don't just listen to the preacher. While I'm preaching, you ought to be thinking and turning over your head. Is he telling the truth?
Amen. Amen.
Is he talking about it?
Yes,
is that in the Bible?
Yes, sir.
You ought to be as the Berean. If Paul didn't get offended, how in the world am I going to get offended?
Amen.
The Apostle Paul commended the Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and said they went back to see if everything he told them was in the book.
That's right.
And we have the same obligation.
Amen.
You don't listen to a preacher without going back afterward. If you can't do it now, go back later and look it up. Was he right?
Amen.
Now, if you got a question, you need to call the pastor. Say, I want to explain this to me. I don't understand this.
Yep.
I don't know if he was right about this. And hopefully, I could be wrong, but hopefully I'm right. But if you can show me I'm wrong, I get up in front of the whole church and tell them I repent and say, I was wrong. Yes. Sister so-and-so showed me I was wrong in this. Y'all forgive me. No. I don't have it all together. Come on, somebody. My preaching is not inspired. No. It's not impeccable. I pray that I stay within the parameters of good preaching, but I could be wrong. And it's up to some of y'all to let me know. Hold on, bro, Pastor. I need to. No, I don't know about this one right here.
Come on.
Now, y'all do it in love. Don't try to show me up. Now, don't get up into the church. don't do that.
Amen.
But I hope to be able to receive any kind of objection that you may have.
Uh-huh.
Let me say it again.
All right.
So, Thelma, the same Holy Ghost in me, if you're saved, is in you. And what I say, if you got the same Holy Ghost, ought to register within you.
Amen.
And if it doesn't, you need to find out what the pastor means. What did he say? Did he make a mistake? Go back and call me and say, well, Pastor, I need you to explain this. Because I'm no better than anybody here. I'm just first among equals.
Come on, Pastor.
That's all. God is going to hold me responsible because I'm doing the most talking.
Amen.
And I need to make sure what I'm saying is right. But if I happen to be wrong, you have a responsibility.
All right, Pastor.
The Bible says, above all else, guard your heart.
Guard your heart.
For out of it flows the issues of life.
Yes.
Proverbs chapter 40, verse 23. That's a Old Testament idiom. When he speaks of guard your heart, they also uses the term belly or bowels. And the New Testament, the more Greek New Testament, thinks of it as mind. So guard your mind with all of your ability. Guard your mind above all else, because out of it flows the issues of life.
Amen.
Here we are. Do it now. Everybody say, do it now.
Do it now.
Be expeditious. Run with haste. Don't waste time. The most precious commodity, the most treasured asset that we possess, aside from our ever-living souls, is time. In this space-time continuum that we're in, time is the most precious commodity we have.
Amen.
I will not waste your time.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
We can lose money, but we can get our money back.
Yes, sir. Man.
We can lose clothes. We can lose friends. We can get friends and clothes back. But when you lose and waste your time,
yes,
you can never get it back. So you must invest your time. So what I do with my time determines my eternity. Here's the equation. Put it down if you would, and we're going to finish up right now. Time plus my soul times question mark equals eternity. Time plus my soul times question mark equals eternity. That question mark is what you do with your time and your soul. That's the variable.
All right.
I don't know what you want to do with your time. I don't know what you want to do with your soul. But whatever you do with your soul, that's what's going to equal your eternity.
All right.
Time plus my soul multiplied by the question mark equals eternity.
Amen.
So what can I do now? What must I do now? First thing I must do now, I only have four. The first thing I must do, brothers and sisters, I must get saved. And if you're not saved, listening to me under the sound of my voice, do it now. Don't wait. Psalm 95 and 7 says it on the same wise as Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. In the day that you hear my voice.
Oh, yes.
Harden not your heart. That same day, Psalm 95, 7, and Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. Joshua told the children of Israel, he told them this, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers that were before the flood, or whether it be the Amorites in whose land we dwell. Then he says, but for me and my house,
come on,
I'm going to serve the Lord.
Yes,
you've got to get saved and do it today. That's why we, and I know Elder Johnson, Pastor Johnson, and other pastor preachers, we preach so hard and so vociferously, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
Yes.
Some people think God is just happy about everything. He ain't studying nothing. You know, everybody going to heaven. No, it's a lie. The terror of God is what propels and compels us to persuade men.
Amen.
Because one day, according to the scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, the Hebrew writer said, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God.
Come on.
Some people think God loves everybody. I got news for you. God is going to give out a retribution throughout eternity to some people that are going to be at the wrong end of God's wrath.
All right. Come on now. Come on now.
And if y'all don't know that, listen, you need to know it today, because this is nothing to play with. There's no need in you coming to church and going to hell with a hymn book under your arm. It is a terrible thing. We serve a terrible God. A God of terror. And whenever he came on the scene, brothers and sisters, the Bible says there was a man that his whole hair went white. Just the thought of God, and even just angels and so forth. Just being in God's presence made men die.
Amen.
terrible thing to be in the hands of an angry God.
Yes, sir.
Brothers and sisters, if you want to do something and you need to do something, do it today. Do it now. Get saved today. Be sure and very sure. As our mother would say, that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And that rock is Jesus. He's the only one. Be sure. Don't just be a churchian. Don't be somebody just go to church and you're not sure about your soul. Be sure that you're saved. And you may say, but I've been going to church, I'm not sure if I'm saved. That's all. You can be made sure today.
All right.
Don't leave this church if you're not sure. Please. This is not just sermonizing. This is the voice of God speaking to you by his mercy.
Amen.
He's been being merciful right now. Somebody's been around the church all their life, ain't never been born again. Taking communion, done everything, but you know verses, you've been in Sunday school, some sing in the choir, somebody even stand behind the pulpit to preach. But listen, if you're not saved and you're not sure you're saved, do it today. Be sure today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So first, do it now. Do what? Get saved. Number two, do it now. Do what? Become sanctified. Be sanctified. Everybody say, be sanctified.
Be sanctified.
That's not a denominational term. That's not a holy roller term. That's a biblical term. Be sanctified. That's the cooperative work of God and the believer that we'll find in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But he comes right back and says, but it is God who worketh in you to will and to do. His good pleasure. Yeah. Not only are you working, God's working.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You're working on your salvation with fear and trembling, and God is working on you that you'll have the will and you'll have the power to do.
Thank you.
All right. His good pleasure.
Yeah.
Be sanctified today.
Today.
Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he walks in us. He works in us. And the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And that you may not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. That whole section of Galatians would be good for you to read. Be sanctified. Don't be a churchian. Don't come to church, sing, choir, and preach, and have a good time, and go out and live like you are hellion from hell. No, you are to live like you believe God, and you trust God, and the Holy Spirit is working out in you what you are to do and how you are to live, and your life ought to show it. That doesn't mean that you're perfect. That doesn't mean that you don't make a mistake. That does not mean that you don't sin. But if the Holy Ghost is in you, when you sin, you fall on your face and you come to God and say, forgive me, oh God. You don't ask me in a way that's just superficial, but you go down deep and you have holy repentance and you have holy forgiveness. You ask God for forgiveness and you ask the Lord to cleanse me and make me new. Look at somebody say, be sanctified.
Be sanctified.
You ain't got to be strange. If you just be sanctified, you're going to be strange.
Yeah.
You're going to go around, you know, just looking crazy and dressed crazy, walk, you know, carrying around a big Bible at work. You ain't got to do that. You got to wear a big cross and all that. Just be sanctified.
Amen.
You're going to be crazy. Yeah.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit is going to work it out in you. The Bible says about the word of God. In John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus says, sanctify them with thy word.
Yeah.
With thy truth, rather. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. That's where we find and know the word of God. It sanctifies us. God cuts away. And he cuts us out. And he gives us unto Christ.
Yeah.
We are cut out of this world, away from this world. And as we continue to trust in the finished work of Christ, we grow in Christ's likeness by cooperating with the Holy Spirit. In seeking to live more faithfully in accordance with God's word. My Lord, I think I need to do a sermon series on sanctification. We need to be saved, yes, but we need to be sanctified.
Amen.
And be sanctified today.
Hey.
Now listen, I know some of you all are getting worn out, but I'm almost there. But let me tell you something. Before the Lord ever did anything with the children of Israel, the command was always to Moses and or to Joshua to tell the people, go sanctify yourself. For tomorrow, the Lord is going to do such and such. God cannot work in the midst of his people if his people are not sanctified. Set apart. Made holy by the righteousness of Christ. We need to be sanctified. Thirdly, if you want to do something now, do it now. Study now. Everybody say, study now. A person cannot be much for God if they are not much with God.
Amen.
You want to be used by God, you got to spend time with God.
That's right.
Amen.
You got to know God for yourself.
Oh, yes.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, this goes hand in hand, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we are discipled by sanctifying God in our hearts. And then we study so that we can give an answer. Somebody around you needs an answer. And you need to be the one to give. You need to tell them, well, wait till Sunday. It's on Monday. You tell them, well, wait till Sunday. I'm going to take you to church with me. Somebody need an answer today. They can't wait till Sunday. They need an answer today in front of you. And you and I need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have within us. That's what we ought to do. We ought to study now. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. But Corey assigned this verse just this morning to the Sunday school class. There's but one Holy Spirit. And the verse says, study to show thyself approved unto God.
Yes, sir.
A workman that needeth not be ashamed. But what?
Rightly dividing
the word of truth. So if you can rightly divide, that means you can wrongly divide.
Yes.
And many people are wrongly dividing the word of truth. But you have to study to show yourself. Well, we are to be saved. Do it now. We're to be sanctified. Do it now. We're to study. Do it now. Lastly, we are to share the gospel. Saved. Sanctified. Study. Share. Always remember, evangelism is a function of discipleship, not the other way around. You don't go evangelize people who have never been discipled themselves. You disciple people. We disciple people that's in church. And then the people who are growing in faith and in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it just comes out of them because they're full. And everywhere they go, they'll end up witnessing, even not trying to witness.
Come on, preacher.
Because you're growing, you're developing, you're blooming in the spirit.
Yes.
Share the gospel. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 says, he that winneth souls is wise.
All right.
Amen.
You know what the Great Commission was in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20?
Yeah.
But many people do not realize that the Great Commandment came before the Great Commission. I'm going to say it again. The Great Commandment came before the Great Commission.
Amen.
The Great Commandment came before the Great Commission. What was the Great Commandment?
Go ahead.
That's right. And what else? And the second is like unto it, to love thy neighbor. You love thyself. You can't evangelize people if you don't love them.
That's right.
Amen.
You can't witness to people if you don't have a burden for them. I don't care if they're a lesbian, I don't care if they're homosexual, if they're transgender, if whatever their ideology, whatever their ism may be, if you don't love people, you are not going to be an effective witness.
Come on, Pastor.
You got to love God first. Love people secondly. And when you do that, evangelism comes out almost as a natural offshoot of the growth that's happening on the inside of you. We want to be that kind of people.
Amen.
That are so full with God that when the cashier say, like my dad was, when the cashier would say, that'll be $8.66. Oh, ain't God good? You say something like, ain't God good? Amen. And the next thing you know, you witness and tell them, you know, the goodness of the Lord just from a little, they just open the door.
Yeah.
And you ready to kick it down.
Yeah.
Because God is inside of you.
Yeah.
Do I have a witness here?
Yeah.
We want to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. I've got more, but I'm going to stop right there. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you want to do something now, be sure you're saved.
Amen.
Be sure you're sanctified.
Yeah.
Start studying. Everybody say, start studying.
Start studying.
Don't just come to church and hear a message and then don't think about it anymore. Study the scriptures. Go deep in the Bible. Read the Bible. Pick up the Bible. As I said, the Lord does the Bible meant for dirty lives. You got to pick up your Bible. And pick up your Bible. And when you do it, you'll also share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it now. Do it now.
Amen.
Be saved now.
Amen.
Be sanctified now.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody got a third one for me? Huh? Somebody said it. I see y'all eyes blazing wide. What's the first one?
Get saved.
What's the second?
Sanctified.
What's the third?
Saved.
What's the fourth?
Share the gospel.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, O God, for your word that encourages us and commands us to grow in grace, grow in knowledge, grow in faith. And Lord, we're asking now, oh Lord, that you would have for us to do it now. Not later, but now, oh God. Help for us, oh God, to prioritize our time so that we might be able to make sure that we're saved, make sure that we're sanctified, make sure that we're studying, and make sure that we're sharing the gospel. This is the whole end of the Christian living. To be disciples, to make disciples, who will be disciple makers themselves. The kingdom is advanced. Your name is glorified. The benefits unto nations and countries and families and communities and neighborhoods is inestimable if people were to be saved, if people were to be sanctified, if people were to study thy word, if we would share thy glorious gospel. Bless, oh God, these your people. Inspire us by your spirit. For we can tell it. Somebody can come and water it, but it's only you, oh God, that gives the increase. So God, we ask that you would breathe upon this feeble word. Those will be encouraged and edified and strengthen their life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.